Oh, hey, what's happening,
Oh,
guys? Look at that.
what is going on?
It's a dog. I'm petting a dog, and she
Okay.
just flipped over and gave me her belly, and I was like, I just met you 10 minutes ago, Maggie. So I guess we're moving on. We are getting to the next level. It's relationship really fast. Hey guys, Spencer,
Hey,
David.
do you have problems
I think pets expect a level of monogamy that I'm not willing to give them. So that's what it is. Open. I want an open pet relationship.
I feel you. I feel you. A little
So
poly animalry.
how
Oh boy.
I want predictions on how this show is going to be without Pablo's presence, because I think it's going to be different. I venture to say it's going to be a little less vulgar because Pablo. Oh, I'm sorry. You're getting upset because is it? Oh, no, I've decided. It's going to be more focused.
Okay.
Alabaster, go.
All right, let's do it. Got a juicy day
You
in
like that?
NBA news. There's some Last Dance vibes coming out of the Warriors as Draymond's eligible for an extension. They got to figure out Wiggins. They got to figure out Poole. But Draymond, he's sort of been a linchpin next to Curry, a basketball genius that helps everything flow. But he's also old and not that great anymore. And our question, do the Warriors need to pay Draymond Green to keep the dynasty going?
Why don't you
All
just soft pedal it, Alabaster? He's old
right.
and not that great anymore.
I feel like those things are the reason why they do need to pay him, because we saw that they were bad when he was bad. Like maybe this was Draymond playing 4D chess, where he was like, I'm gonna stink and I'm gonna podcast and I'm gonna let everyone talk about how much I stink, then I'm gonna be awesome. And then we are going to win those games. Like that is a negotiation strategy I had yet to consider. But sometimes you gotta let people know how valuable you are. I don't know. Like I'm not sure what the move is. Maybe on Maggie, I'll stop petting Maggie and she'll like appreciate my love.
Oh, shout out to Maggie.
I appreciate the awkward silence that just fell
Yeah, I
upon
mean,
this
you
room.
just yeah. Whenever petting is mentioned, I sort of kind of want to duck out from the sports conversation and do something else. No, I think I there's an easy solution here, and I think that the easiest solution is, I mean, the Warriors have a lot of people to pay. They got to pay Poole. He's coming out of his rookie deal. Wiggins is going to get re-signed. Klay and Draymond. It's four people that they have to make happy. I think the easiest solution is that Klay is going to take less money. That's just where this seems like it's going. He's mentioned that he wants to stay with the Warriors forever. He's also talked about how grateful he's felt that they have paid him. They paid him for 2 years when he was not playing. Obviously, he was rehabbing. And it just seems like the way to get out of this is that he just takes a little bit less money and makes everything easier. Draymond gets what he wants, and everybody's a big old happy family.
I
Yeah, I mean,
mean,
how long do you want to keep that family together, though? Like, that's the thing, is that right now that luxury tax hit, all right, that the hit that they took last year was 300 mil plus. It got a ballpark on the overall revenue estimated for the 21-22 season for the Warriors. It's about 800 mil. That's 300 mil against 800 mil total revenue that you're paying because you're paying too much. That's what they're looking at. I know that they like to spend money. I know they're unafraid of it. At one point, though, the fear kicks in. I don't care how high you like to climb. Eventually, you will look down and go, this is too far. And Dominique knows I will hit the button. I'll hit the button. Whatever
It's a trade
if
machine.
it's a big if it's a big yeah, if it's a trade machine, if it's the deal machine, like just show it to me and I will hit it. Because if we just X'd out everyone's names here and worked with them like variables, you'd say go somewhere else. That's what you would do. But the only thing keeping us here is the fact that we have this nice little narrative and story between them, which is tied to real chemistry, right? I don't want to underestimate that, but it's time to cut bait.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well,
I think they've built they built up so much of this like strength in numbers. We're different than everyone else. We pay our stars. We'll go into the luxury tax. Like, these are things that it feels like you can't go back on, particularly with this player. Like, there are a couple players there, or three players there, that I feel like no matter what, as long as they want to be there, they should be on the Udonis Haslam plan. And those three players are the three players that come to mind when you think of Golden State. Like, imagining Draymond Green somewhere else, or Klay Thompson somewhere else, all because, like, this isn't a hard cap. These aren't decisions that they have to make. Like, they are caking up over there. It feels really hard for Joe Lacob to be out here saying we're light years ahead and that he shouldn't pay the luxury tax because they draft so well and that they are willing to keep their talent. And then also get scared. Like, to me, this is the time when you have to pay that money if you want to continue to represent what you think that you represent. So I don't see the problem. You pointed out the money that they're making. Keep making the money. As long as you keep winning, you'll keep making the money. And Draymond's one of those guys that seems vital for you guys, or for them, to continue to produce the way that they produce.
Well, I mean, I guess the problem is that Draymond is a max player only for the Warriors, it seems. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if he goes out in the market, he's not getting max money. So as a Warriors, you're sort of betting against yourself. You know, like, you're bidding against yourself, and no team ever wants to do that. So they have to do sort of the counter business thing and sort of go with the feels, go with the vibes. And, you know, the big X factor here is the fact that Steph Curry is they're the number one, the franchise. He wants everybody to stay. So, you know.
That Marcus Thomas quote that's up right now for the podcast audience, I'm not reading it because I don't respect you guys. But that is a good and important quote, because I think it speaks to this overall unit is worth that amount of money. So the idea that you're just paying Draymond is the wrong way to look at it, because Steph is better when Draymond's out there, right? The team is better when Draymond's out there. Klay is better than Draymond when Draymond's out there. It's kind of like how sometimes you look at what in football, how much you're paying the quarterback room, not necessarily how much you're paying a particular quarterback. Yeah, everybody gets worse when Draymond leaves. So you're not paying Draymond, and I don't give a damn if you're negotiating against yourself. If he's that valuable to you, then you pay him. And this is one of the, like, I'm going to try not to go deep into, like, my union bag here. But this is one of the drawbacks of A, having a salary cap, and B, having max deals. Like, if you did not have a max deal, you would be able to slot Draymond in where he actually belongs. Because he is not the max player. Like, the concept of having a max player, I believe, is, like, built around the idea that there is that one guy. There's that one guy that is the most important piece. And now, since you have a cap on it, anybody who is integral to you winning, like, feels like, hey, well, that's the number. Whereas if you did it more like you did in football, we'd be like, all right, well, you are this level of player, and this is how much you get. And you can't expect to get as much as Steph. But now Draymond kind of expects it because the max deal exists as a benchmark.
Well, to that end, this comment here where it says with his desire to remain with the Warriors, he's willing to explore other offers. If he is more valuable to the Warriors in context, why are you going to go do that? That's news you don't want. You don't want to find out how much less valuable you are in other contexts, right? That feels like theater to me. That doesn't feel like anything they actually want to engage in, because the news that you will get, particularly given injury trouble this past year, it's not going to be anything you want to hear, right?
It's an idle threat. It's like if I told my wife I was going to go to the club. Like, I am not nearly as appealing to any of these young women as I was when I was at club going age. Like, Draymond is going to find out that the game. You remember that guy who was when Steph Curry's dad, Del Curry, when he first broke up, that guy who was on the internet talking about how the game has changed. You got to, like, you drink charcoal and stuff.
Solomon, oh, Missouri. Yes. Solomon, Missouri. Yes. The immortal thread, which included one entry that was just the word Tulum with 8 question marks after it. Yes.
That's the same thing that I feel like Draymond's going to find out, is you don't want to go back out in this game because he has developed a certain set of skills that fit perfectly into this puzzle. And there are I'm trying to think of a player or a personality and a skill set that's less desirable to bring in. Like Draymond's not a great scorer. He's not a centerpiece mm-hmm. of an offense, but he is outspoken as hell. And like mm-hmm. all we hear is stories about how there's tension between him and the head coach, the multiple time champion head coach, not just as a coach, but as a player. He's beefing with Steve Kerr. He was beefing with KD. Now tell me the place that wants to bring that guy in a locker room who ain't going to give you 30 points a night, but is going to give you the attitude of someone who gives you 30 points a night, and you're going to pay him max money. He's not as cute as he thinks he is.
Let's also forget this thing. When you go to the club, there are people with low standards who may, you know, get ask you for your number. But there's also, on the same metaphor, general managers are idiots. Like, there are a lot of really dumb general managers out there who are willing to do this. Like, I've seen this in the league, and we will continue to see bad contracts. Like the Knicks may be out here and say, hey, we're going to give Draymond Green a max deal because he can make, you know, whoever better. You know, like there is always that chance that happens. Now, would Draymond want to go there for that? I don't think so. This, again, like you said, this feels a lot like theater, you know. But again, like I said last time, when I tried to say that, you know, restricted free agency was kind of like marriage, you kind of proved my point a little bit by talking about going on a date. Thank you very much.
What you got, Alabaster?
So I got a couple things. But first off, the repeater tax going into 23-24, $564 million. For this Warriors team. And the reason I think that's like, you know, part of the reason you're paying Draymond and Klay is to make this generational guy and Steph Curry happy. But I think it's so fascinating about this Warriors team is they have all these pieces that are sort of more valuable to them. And not just Draymond Green, they reanimated Andrew Wiggins from someone who looked like he had no interest in trying hard on a basketball court. Jordan Poole was in the G League and someone who he thought, maybe that guy's just going to be a chucker and he's awesome. They brought Klay along abnormally slowly back from this injury. And it goes down and down the line. And it's like, I find this mm-hmm. interesting because no team has players outside of Steph Curry that are harder to evaluate than the Warriors. And it almost seems like it's both good business and bad business to re-sign those type of guys.
It's very different business. And I think one of the things in evaluating Draymond is this, that the Warriors are working with a calculus that nobody else has. And that's not saying, ooh, they're super unique. They are, but so unique that nobody else can understand them. No, but I think you're probably going to miss several things in evaluating Draymond's strengths and weaknesses that the Warriors know better than anyone else, in addition to that value. So, yeah, it's probably an asset that when you look at it, it's a lot like trying to buy a painting or a piece of sculpture that you don't even know why it's valuable, right? You're like, I don't even think it's pretty. I don't even know who thinks it's pretty, but someone told you it was worth 25 mil, right? So I got to get it. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Don't. Steer away. And it's not even your market.
The great thing about the great thing about the repeater tax that you're talking about is you're not going to be paying 25 mil. Like, we're talking about paying Draymond a max deal. But they're paying him much more than a max deal because of the repeater tax. It's not going to go to Draymond. It's going to go to everyone else. So how do you feel? I guess it's interesting to me as a competitor to the Warriors. Like, do you want them to sign Draymond? Because it's more money for you. Because the luxury tax goes into a pot that goes to the teams that behave better or who stay underneath mm-hmm. of these tax. Like, the lower revenue teams get this money. So are you thinking, let's improve our championship odds, or let's get caked up because the Warriors can't say no to this beautiful sculpture that only looks nice in their house.
Are you saying the Kings are just like, yeah, sign him. This is crucial. Yeah,
exactly. The Kings have hired a bot army on Twitter to mm-hmm. infiltrate Joe Lacob's his Twitter mentions and telling him, you better sign Draymond.
Cheap.
Yeah. I'm not. Is there a bigger insult you could give to a billionaire than calling him cheap or calling him broke? Stop acting like a broke
that's
boy.
That's what I'm saying. There's just a bunch of bots that are just like, broke boy, B-O-I, just all of the Joe Lacob mentioned. Just sending him gifs of like of money, them making it rain and saying, bitch, mm-hmm. you can't do this.
Maybe
and,
I'm,
you know,
maybe,
that's how I was going to get Draymond signed.
Maybe I am like, just like hyper masculine in a way that I don't want to admit. But if there is something that I like, but am uncomfortable paying that amount for it, if I'm being honest with you, I pretend like I don't like it. Like, I'd be like, I don't even like it that much. I would never really be like, nah, that's too expensive. And I feel like Joe Lacob has to have that same instinct multiplied mm-hmm. by how many billion dollars. So, like, I would feel, if I'm Joe Lacob and I have to make this call, I'm going to be like, nah, Draymond ain't that good. I'm not going to say I ain't got the money for it, because clearly his ego has to play into this, right?
I like that you're, I mean, secure. Yeah, you're secure enough to admit that, by the way, Dolly. Just I'm very proud of you.
Oh yeah, I'll see a leather jacket. I don't know what cool kids wear, and be like, "Ooh, this is nice." Then I put it on, and I'll sneak a glance at the price tag while I'm putting it on, and I've decided how I feel about it before I even put it on. And I could look mm-hmm. 10 times sexier with that thing on, but I'm like, no, I don't like the way it's cut. It's also that, like, I didn't like the fact that y'all try to sneak a comma in on that price tag. It's the honest thing.
All right, guys.
Yeah, I feel like I'm an honest man, but I lie the most at the jewelry store. I always lie at the jewelry store. Mm-hmm. I go to the jewelry store, and I'm like, I don't like the gleam on this thing. And really, the fact is, I have no intention of buying anything that you're showing me. Sorry, my screen is frozen. I have no clue what's going on.
You're doing a great job. Alabama.
Yeah, you're doing awesome.
All good. All good. Hit a little refresh, and I'll interject for a second. So, I want to game one thing out with you guys really quickly. And we've talked a little bit about Joe Lacob's ego. They're fine for this year. They're going to have their team this year. What happens if they win number 5? And the reason I say that is Joe Lacob has a massive ego. He's Mr. Light Years Ahead. And at that point, is $564 million worth the chance of tying Michael Jordan, of getting ring number 6 and being like, I told you, my guys are the dynasty.
I mean, I think we need somebody in there to do the math to let us know how much $560 million actually is to Joe Lacob. Because it sounds like a big number to us, but I feel like it's probably like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand or less than that. It's probably like $40 to the rest of us. And yes, it is worth $40 for me to be able to say, yep, I'm on par with Michael Jordan. Like, you ain't gonna take it with you. Because I think the honest thing about making financial decisions, for me at least, is how much is it gonna impact my life? And if a financial decision is going to change the way I live, then the answer is normally no. I'm not trying to risk that. So Joe Lacob, is he going to have to stop flying private? Is he going to have to sell his yacht? Is he going to have to do anything? If the answer is no, then spin it. You can't take it with you, right?
I mean, that doesn't seem to be the approach of any billionaire currently living. Right. Is you can't take it with you. The idea is, no, I can vault it up with me and no one will ever have it. And I don't know if that extends to an NBA team. You know, and by the way, you know, he's worth $1.5 billion. Just, you know, $1.5 billion, just to put him in the billionaire pantheon for you.
Oh, so he's a low end Billy? Ugh.
He's a low. Nobody wants $1.5 billion. You're like barely a billionaire. You're not, you're not even really in there. That's like a broke billionaire. I mean,
then you have to think about your yacht. You just can't draw a picture and hand it to somebody, right? Like, you can't just draw your NBA franchise as 5 super tall guys who are dunking and hand it to somebody and be like, get me that, you know? Like, you don't want to be house poor. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase house poor. That's when you buy too much house and you don't have the money to put anything in it. You don't want to be Draymond poor. You don't want your franchise to struggle because you're still paying money to Draymond Green, right? And
I bet Steve Ballmer's in the corner just talking trash about how poor Joe Lacob is. Sorry, keep going.
Absolutely. There's no way Ballmer isn't giving it to him, right? Because NBA owners are a fascinating slice of, like, wealth. There's some guys who are pretty wealthy, like Joe Lacob. Uh-huh. And then there's guys like Ballmer who you're like, yeah, you could just sneeze and buy another one if you really want.
So, first of all, the reference that always comes to mind is, like, the Hoodrich song. So, Joe Lacob, if he makes this deal, will he then have a quarter tank of gas in his new E-Class? Like, is that the life he's living? And he can't pay his rent because all his money is spent. Like, those are – if you're going to be a billionaire, obviously, your whole life, like, spending your life where you're shopping in Zara. Like, that is the way that you can look at any purchase is, like, if I'm in Zara, I don't care. I don't look at no price tags because I know that whatever they are selling in here – if I'm in H&M, whatever's in here, I don't need to look at the price tag because I know I got it. Whereas if you like find me in Saks, first thing I'm looking at is the price tag. And Joe Lacob cannot be seen as someone amongst like the ego as going to the owner's meetings. You do not want to be seen as someone who is checking price tags. Like what the market price, how much is that? You never want to be the one. Although I am that guy, I'm gonna ask you. You're not gonna market price me, but you don't want to be seen. You want to do it on the slide. You want to be like, hey, so what's that market price really hitting on?
Well, isn't that sort of why, like, and you're the cap specialist, person. Like, don't you feel like that's a little bit why the contract that's negotiations person? Isn't this sort of why these caps are in here in the first place so that billionaires don't have to like stare each other down and be like, I can't afford that. Like, it's so fascinating to me how league owners are like, you become a billionaire by following no rules, like by skirting rules and taxes and labor laws and all that stuff. But when they get into like NFL, NBA, MLB, they're like, oh, we have a hard cap. We can't violate this cap. We don't know what to do. Like, just pay the, like, Stephen Curry is worth $500 million to your franchise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're getting a discount. Just pay the money. But it's like you're bound by these rules when you really just don't want to say, I checked the price tag and can't afford it.
Look at that, bro.
God. Whoa. For the podcast audience, go to YouTube and look it up so you can see what we just reacted to, you monsters. Jeez. So Joe Lacob is a fraction of Steve. Gosh, if I'm Steve Ballmer, I'm going into the next like CBA caucus where like the owners meet with each other before they send off their crew to negotiate with the players. And I'm saying remove all caps so I can win titles for the rest of eternity because I'm buying everybody. I'm going to have the USA basketball team on my sideline and nobody else. We are going to knock the Lakers out of everything because nobody else got what I got. Goodness gracious, that's not even close.
Steve Ballmer locks his door when he drives by Joe Lacob.
I don't think counts
the silverware.
Yeah, he takes he's like, everybody put the good china away. Joe Lacob's coming. You never know what he's gonna do. You never know what he's gonna do.
You take text about to lunch, and they go to California Pizza Kitchen because I know you watch your budget,
right?
Do you remember that Chappelle skit where I think it was reparations, and the woman was holding her money and laughing at it, which a broke ass. I just have that image of Joe Lacob being like standing next to Steve Ballmer, and Steve Ballmer just clutching his money. You better get away from me with your broke ass. You smell like poverty.
This is every time I see a comparison like that, I just hear Charles Barkley talking about Shaq and going, well, if Shaq had my bank account, he'd kill himself. Like that every time he sees it. Because you're like, Charles has a lot of money. He ain't Shaq.
Yeah, that was the, I forgot who it was. Oh, it might have been Jay-Z. I was talking about, oh no, it was Chris Rock. It was Chris Rock that was talking about being rich versus wealthy when he was like, Shaq got, you got Shaq money. What about the guy who paid Shaq? Yes, Joe Lacob is getting doors locked, getting windows rolled up on him. That's outstanding. That's how
it's probably a tax write-off for Steve Ballmer to take Joe Lacob for lunch.
Just charity. Oh gosh, you got a rich man spirit, David. Like, hey, you got a We need to send you some money so that you can be your true self.
Yeah. I've been treated like a poor person for a long time. I like that the three of us
are making fun of a dude with 1.5 Billy. That's my favorite part of this show so far.
What else can we do? He could make me disappear tomorrow and nobody would know.
What else? That's what we do best. Like, make fun of people who do things that we don't have or that we can't do. Like, isn't that our job? Criticize a bunch of athletes that can do things. Well, do things that y'all can't do. What's next, Alabaster?
All right. So, guys, mini update. I was watching the Twitter stream. And while you guys were talking, Heat owner Mickey Arison joined for some billionaire talk. Anyway, what I have for you next is I think we should skip ahead. We'll come back to Aaron Rodgers. Let's go straight to Jimmy Butler. In case you're still in the audience, Mickey, I can't tell once you join the stream on Twitter. But what are the chances you guys like Jimmy Butler's new look?
Well, before we get to that, I just want to let everybody know, for anybody who may be watching in the audience, I have two children. I have high bills. Things are expensive here. If anybody wants to hit my GoFundMe, anybody, no person in particular wants to hit the GoFundMe, put a couple bill in there. Student loans are kind of you know, a thing still. Just throwing that out there. Nobody in particular.
If you were a real man, you would give David a milli in cash right now.
Okay,
if you were a real hombre.
Or you're a broke boy with your broke ass.
Whichever one.
Opinions can be purchased. David Davis might feel better about the Heat if there was an extra comma in his GoFundMe. All right, let's see.
I mean, if that kind of pocket change makes you sweat, Mickey. I'm just saying.
With that said, future Finals MVP Jimmy Butler's head looks phenomenal.
Ooh, you giving him a little test? Oh.
Look at the pose. Well, nice. Then he skipped some steps. There's like a few steps that he skipped right there.
That, you know what, as the person here with the most irresponsible hairstyle in terms of temperature management, he plays in Miami. That just seems hot.
It does. It does seem like he had this vision several years ago and he got impatient. It is like the opposite of building your team the right way. That man went and got some free agents. He went and got some free agents that he was going to tie into his hair to build the team that he wanted. And I respect it. I mean, it's 2022. I'm not going to tell nobody. I wouldn't tell no woman she can't get extension. So, Jimmy, extend that thing if you want to. But, yeah, at some point you might get a little warm. It's just a time commitment. I hope that they get to the finals next year and they fall short and people point to this like, you spend 8 hours in a chair getting extensions when you should be working on your jump shot.
I just can't wait for ESPN stats and info to be like, when his hair is 18 inches long, he shoots 32% from the field.
Yes. 100% from me. I love the new look. Generally, if you like your look, I love your look. So it seems like he felt confident in it. I mean, the confidence to like not only put it on, but make it quite obvious that you're doing it. Like, I feel like the point of extensions is to kind of sneak in and trick. He's like, nah, my shit just grow like that overnight.
Yeah, if you're familiar with Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp is, he had hair plugs done. And rather than hide from them, he was asked about them in a press conference. And Jurgen Klopp, a reporter, raised their hand and gently said, I noticed that did you get some, there's something happening up there. It looks like you've had a comeback, right? And Jurgen Klopp was like, yes, I had hair plugs. And then the results are fantastic. What do you think? Like, he's like, yes, I was going bald and it was horrible. Now I have beautiful hair. And that's kind of what I feel like Jimmy Butler's going for here. So I support him 100%. I hope that he talks Tyler Hero into some sort of extremely outlandish matching hairdo, because it just feels like the two of them, if one shines, the other should as well.
I don't feel like Tyler Hero needs to be talked into very much. Like Tyler Hero, if he was in my crew, he's the one talking us into the things that are like maybe a little iffy. Oh gosh.
I think Tyler Hero's dream is for a black dude to walk up to him and say, hey, why don't you get some locks?
No, he's so close. He's already there, man.
Right there. Ooh.
He's just waiting.
we all have assumed that Tyler Hero does not want to go to Utah. This is how he can scuttle those trade talks. If he just gets some braids, he gets some braids, then Danny Ainge is like, damn, you know we can't bring you in now. You know we cannot make this trade now because the Salt Lake City is not nearly as excited about dreaded Tyler Hero as they are about clean-cut Tyler Hero.
I'm going to go 100% because I do like it. The question isn't whether I like it. The question is the process of it coming together. But, yes, I do like it, even though he kind of looks like the villain in a Tyler Perry movie, but I'll take it. It works out for me.
There are a lot of things about being a man that give us privileges in this society, and one of them is not having to sit in a hair salon or sit between the legs of someone for hours and hours. Like, I have three kids, two of them are girls, and my son spends a lot more time on his screens or playing outside because he does not have to get his hair washed or combed or done nearly as often. And I tend not to want to trade in the few privileges that I have, but I guess when you are Jimmy Butler, you're fine. I'm like, hey, fuck it, I got a couple hours. Turn him in. Make me look good. So, also, Jimmy Butler, like, he's so...
Oh, yes! No! Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
My God, yes. Perfect.
Tyler, don't yes, indeed.
It. No, oh, that's what man. That's what I want. If the closer we can get to that, like, the closer
we get to the
pinnacle of Tyler Hero-ness.
His trade value just went through the floor for some teams and through the roof for others. Like, what are you doing, Tyler? Podcast suddenly audience,
he's not sneaky athletic anymore. He's just regular athletic all of a sudden. I don't know how that happened.
You're a suddenly explosive, game-changing athlete, max deal worthy.
No longer right. A gym rat. How did that happen?
What's next, Alabaster?
We're going to pivot to some football here. And Aaron Rodgers, not in his cancel culture casket. We're going to hear from him. What are the chances you actually found Aaron Rodgers funny here?
All right, so we got two videos here. If you happen to miss what Adams had to say, we can run that for you now. Devontae Adams, that is, quarterbacks former receiver.
From, you know, Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
The best part of that clip is when Joe Cena looks at the camera, make sure that we got that craziness that he said. This was Aaron Rodgers beautifully trolling that soundbite. Roll it, Allie.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. you know, from Devontae to Allen, it's going to be, you know, a transition. But he's capable of a lot.
Who is – so, all right, percentage chances he actually found Aaron Rodgers funny. Like, yeah, it was funny. I liked it. So I'm going to give him 90%. The 10% is because the joke also, like, kind of took a shot at Allen Lazard. And the process, which is kind of mean, because you are suggesting that Allen Lazard is as far behind Adams as Carr is behind you, and that Allen Lazard is not a Hall of Famer and will never be a Hall of Famer. So I don't know. I'll take 10% off for potentially hurting your receiver's feelings. Otherwise, it was an excellent troll. It's pretty funny.
I'm gonna give him I'm gonna try to think of the most holistically perfect answer, the most let's see, I'm gonna give it like a 42% chance that I found it funny, because it's, again, it's like you know, it's sort of clever. It's not like next shelf, it's not next level kind of stuff. It's exactly, you know, it's exactly what I sort of would expect of Aaron Rodgers. We've lowered the bar for him so far that if he does something moderately inoffensive or moderately smart, then we bump him back up to almost pre-embarrassing Aaron Rodgers standards. So I'm going to go 42%, right? Because, you know, that's the answer for everything.
I'm ashamed of my answer now. What you got, David? I might need to change my answer after I hear what David said, because you're right.
I'm gonna go pi percent because that's the type of head ass answer Aaron Rodgers would give.
Yes,
pi. I'm gonna go pi.
3.14%.
I'm gonna go pi. Don't put three. Put the actual pi symbol.
Put the actual pi. Okay. Yeah.
That would be Aaron Rodgers' answer. This is Aaron Rodgers is clearly in the middle of a rebrand. Oh, that's a beautiful pie.
Outstanding.
Awesome. Nice. Way to go.
Ooh, that wasn't Alabaster's hand. Who's writing that? Alabaster.
That's Aristotle. Look at that. Flawless Greek.
You are never. That's not the first time you've written pie. I can tell. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever made the pie simple in my life. Can we run it again? Because I have to admit, I need to take some points off because he thought it. I hadn't seen the clip. I'd read it, and I didn't realize that he had obviously planned that and thought it was funnier than it was. Like, it seemed like if it was off the cuff, like, run it again because he, like, gave you a pause, like, y'all better laugh at this. I'm a king of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. you know, from Devontae to Allen, it's going to be you know, a garbage transition, but he's capable of a lot.
All right, I changed my percentage. Cross it out. It is, I would instead like to offer Aaron Rodgers' tattoo. So get drawn. That is my percentage.
Just the symbol, yeah.
It is Aaron Rodgers' tattoo level. I believe there's a lion in there. So. Is there an eye? Is there a third eye in it? It's like a triangle, right? Got like some feathers on the side.
Just draw a chemtrail because that feels Aaron Rodgers. He also just do that if you can.
Oh. Yeah. Also, the disrespect to the Iowa State legend Alan Lazard here, please.
Oh, yeah, I mean this Aaron Rodgers is in the middle of a Jenner Kardashian brand right now, where he is trying to be likable. Nobody likes him, and he's trying. He's got his jokes. He's got his cosplay. Who knows what he's going to do tomorrow? He might show up juggling tomorrow. He's going to do something to get people. He's going to walk in with a porgy or something, a corgi or whatever, to get people to like him. Like, this is what he's doing. And somebody in a comedy room wrote that joke for him, and he was very happy to get it off. That this is what this is. Nobody, people, and people are falling for it. People are like, oh,
I love that tattoo. That's nice. It's either looks like the Blair Witch symbol or like the cross color symbol. I use the rock. Cross colors. I never wore them backwards though. I feel like that was what the real cool kids did, like crisscross. What else we got, Alabaster?
All right, we got one more topic about probably not cool quarterbacks. And that is I'm going to ask you about Russell Wilson's arrival at training camp. Was it cool? Let's take a look.
I hated it. My gosh. Oh, gosh. Please take it down. Please, please, please take it down. No, I need you to remove this from the screen. I can't look at it. All right, I'm just going to close my eyes until you guys find the wherewithal to do the right thing. This, like, I don't know where to start. Did you also see his soundbite that, I don't know if it's, he said it recently, but I saw it recently where he said, when someone tells him like an amount of reps to do, he like three times. Yeah, there it is.
No, you don't.
I've always been about the extra work. If somebody says you've got to do X amount, I triple it. Oh God, I don't know.
That's 12 hours a week of film for Kyler Murray.
Hey. I respect to that agent, by the way, for putting that number out there, which was alerting every other potential quarterback. By the way, I can get you down to four. I can get you down to four.
So 0%, obviously, like, I have a broader question. Is, like, he has to know what he's doing. So he's leaning into this, right? Like, he has decided that this is how he is going to brand himself, because there is no way that he has that quote. He shows up to training camp in his own jersey. Like, what are you doing? And all the other, oh, you did it again.
It's got the like, little, look, it's got the little ladder on the side.
Oh yeah, the truck. I didn't even make it to the truck because I'm stuck on
the truck.
Ugh. The truck. Like, what are you now? Do we? What, what's the purpose of that truck?
Did he arrive in that truck? I want to be clear. Did he arrive in that truck?
Yes.
Or is that
somebody else? He did.
That's his truck. Oh, wow. Wow. That's his truck. Okay. I want you to, first of all, look at all of the unnecessary metal he's got on the front of that thing. Okay. Like, imagine Russell Wilson driving out of whatever gated community he's going to be staying in Denver, rolling out in his 18-foot wind unstable truck that will flip over in the first stiff gale that it hits coming off a mountain pass somewhere in Denver, Colorado. Mm. Look at it. Look at that rack of lights that I guarantee you he has to hit eight other switches before he knows. Somebody told Russell Wilson, you only need four lights. And he's like, make it 12. Somebody told him, you only need four wheels. And he's like, can we put 12 wheels on this truck? Let's do it.
I hate this picture so much.
He looks like he's driving through Joe Lacob's projects.
What in the hell? So
I think, you know what, since I'm just gonna, let's do this. I don't think he looks 100% cool. I don't want Russell Wilson to ever look intentionally cool. I want him to be the dean at Tryhard University for the rest of his life. I want him to keep doing cringe videos where he says, yeah, let's go Bronco Nation, let's ride, and getting his like NWO Hulk Hogan voice on. I want that at all times. I want him to be the completely unironic and unaware in real life John Cena of quarterbacks. That's what I want. I want him to go out the wild card round, okay? Like,
he knows. He knows.
As heartily as possible, right?
It's no way that this is genuine. He is like, this is the character he decided he wanted to play. And he is playing it. Like, it's no way this is
genuine. I don't want genuine Russell Wilson. I want like market tested, approved by the dumbest marketing team in the country. Every single move, every single thing has to be as try hard as possible on Russell Wilson. I want him to unironically look at me and say, I need to eat my vegetables. All right, like, and take my vitamins.
I feel like he is like the 1985, like the prototype. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm going to give you all of this foolishness. I'm sorry, David. I'll let you make your percentage now, and then I'll have a story to tell you guys after that.
Well, is he still married to Sierra? Then 100%, everything he does looks cool. So I just imagine, like, after that photo was taken, he flicked a cigarette and then it like went to a trail of gasoline and then the truck blew up behind him and just kept walking without looking back. That's how I imagined it in my head.
Outstanding. So that truck combined with Denver, Colorado, or I guess that's Centennial, Colorado, where mm-hmm. the thing is, that it reminds me of when we drafted Brandon Marshall, and I hope he won't be upset for me telling his story, but it was very funny. This was back when H2s were cool. He bought an H2. He drove it home, and the garage that he lived in was not big enough. So he drove it into the garage, crushed his garage with this big-ass truck. And then he returned the truck and came back with like a Toyota truck that was also big that fit in there. But I forgot what color the truck is, but you remember those Toyota trucks that had like a different color roof? It was one of those trucks that had like a white or black roof and the rest of the car was different color. And then people roasted him for driving the truck through the garage, and then they roasted him for buying a truck that had a do-rag on. It was outstanding. It stuck with me forever. Sorry, B. Marsh.
Can you go back to the picture 1 second? I just have one question. Where are you going on that ladder? What are you going to do once you're up there?
You got to get the wheel down. Where is that? Are you anticipating, like, society falling apart? Like, where is this armored truck ever actually useful?
He said, give me Chris Nolan Batmobile and say no more.
Oh, gosh. I've had enough. You guys ruined my day. I was having a good day. Not you guys. Alabaster did it. Make me look.
I'm gonna tell Russell Wilson, I think he needs more ladders on that truck. Somebody said he needed one. He needs three ladders on that. He needs three times.
There
as
were
many.
A couple ladders. Oh god, I've had enough. Oh, you see? Please get me out of here. And you, who parks next to that? Like my goodness.
Someone said he needs one bracelet, so he got seven on his wrist. Look at that. Beautiful.